This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. It's the most wonderful time of the year, or, well, it's supposed to be for retailers. This holiday sales season is well underway, but this year some are doing considerably better than others. iPods and digital cameras are flying off the high-end electronic shelves. Discounted department stores are disappointed. At this point, numbers are down from last year. Analysts predict, though, that shoppers will spend more freely as Christmas approaches. In a moment, we'll take a look at this year's holiday economy with a peek into how stores lure us in, from modern Christmas tunes to dazzling holiday displays. So if you're in retail, how's the holiday season going for you? If you're a customer, what draws you into one shop as opposed to another? The prices, the window display, the music? Maybe it's pictures with Santa. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is totn@npr.org. But we begin at the conjunction of economics and politics. Yesterday at the White House, President Bush asked Jon Snow to stay on as Secretary of the Treasury. That's going to be an even more important job than usual, as the president hopes to focus on tax and Social Security reforms in his second term. Joining us now is Mark Zandi, chief economist at economy.com. He's with us by phone from his office in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Good to have you back on the program, Mark.
It's good to be with you, Neil.
As recently as a few days ago, Jon Snow's tenure as Treasury Secretary was being measured in days. Why was he thought to be leaving, and why is he being asked to stay on?
Well, there were a few leaks coming out of the administration that they wanted him to leave. It was a bit perplexing. I'm not sure anyone really understands, except for those folks, why they wanted him to leave. He's done an admirable job as Secretary of Treasury over the past couple of years, and I think the president decided to put the talk to an end and put his confidence behind the Secretary of Treasury, because a lot needs to get done over the next year, and he needs a strong Secretary of Treasury to lead the way.
There were reports, though, the president was considering others, may have even talked to a few people.
That may be the case, but the secretary has been a very ardent and articulate spokesman for the president's economic policies. He guided through a major tax bill in the summer of 2003, convinced a lot of people that it was a good idea. And whether you agreed or disagreed with the policies he's put forth, he's done a pretty good job of putting them forth.
And he will be playing a critical job, particularly in selling very difficult policies to Congress in this second term.
Exactly. The president has a very ambitious economic agenda that I think we'll get a peek at in the next couple of months. Privatization of Social Security, a major tax reform, which might include the elimination of the alternative minimum tax, elimination of state and local income tax deductions, other things that are near and dear to many of us. And so the next Secretary of Treasury, or the current Secretary of Treasury, has got a lot of work to do, and he needs to get busy.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get that back then to the holiday seasonal economy, which is, remind us, how important is this to both to retailers and to the economy at large?
It is important. It's clearly the most important time of the year for retailers. This is when a lot of sales occur, and it's key to the economy, because consumers need to be spending and out there buying for us to produce and employ people and create incomes. And so if we have a good Christmas, then we'll have good momentum going into next year. So retailing at the Christmas season is key for the economy.
And how's it going so far this year?
Okay. Black Friday was great, as it always is, and the following week has seemed a bit disappointing, which is not unusual. Retailers always seem to pull it out, though. They'll start putting on the discounts and becoming a bit more aggressive and trying to get us to come to the stores and to shop and to spend. And I think when it's all said and done, they'll be successful, and this will turn out to be a good Christmas.
Though we have seen signs, Walmart said that their sales were more disappointing than usual. And just today, I think Costco said they were also doing less well than expected.
Yeah, not all retailers are doing well. The high-end retailers that cater to higher-income, wealthier households, are doing very, very well. The retailers that cater to lower middle-income households, less wealthy households, have not done as well. Walmart would be the good case, and would be the best case in point. It has struggled, particularly compared to expectations for Walmart. As you know, Walmart has been a juggernaut in the retail industry over the past more than a decade, and this is really the first significant stumble that has befallen it.
Was there an element of complacency in Walmart's troubles this year, do you think?
Well, they were a bit aggressive in pricing. Walmart's comparative advantage is its pricing. It's always been very aggressive in pricing its products, and that makes them very competitive. This Christmas, they seem to have pulled back a bit on the pricing, and they paid for it. People went elsewhere. They shopped at other discounters and among other retailers, and maybe they're just waiting. And that's not something that we're all getting conditioned to do. We all realize that the best deals will come just prior to Christmas, the week prior to Christmas. And so I think we're all learning just to wait a little bit longer, put the squeeze on the retailers, and I'm sure they're going to come through and get rewarded with lower prices.
Our number, if you'd like to join us, is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email TOTN at NPR.org. In this segment of the program, as we're talking with Mark Zandi of Economy.com, we're going to be focusing on how retail sales are doing. How's it going where you are? Be particularly interested to hear from retailers. And a little bit later, we're going to be talking about what it is that lures you into stores or maybe drives you away. Is it the window, the display, the music? What is it? 800-989-8255. And let's begin with John, who joins us from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi, Al.
Hi.
I lost my job this past year for a little while. It took me a month to find a new job. I do IT work, systems analyst. And when I did find my new job, it was for 10 grand less a year than I had been making previously. So for me, the holiday season's going to be a little rougher this year.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question for you, though. With the weak dollar, I was wondering how that was going to affect the holiday season. I know a weak dollar is going to make it harder for retailers to buy things from abroad, and I guess make it harder for them to offer the lower prices. So.
Did that play any, Mark Zandi, did that play any factor? For example, Walmart imports a lot of its stuff from China.
No, not so far, although that's a great question. The dollar has fallen in value primarily against the euro, that's the European currency, the pound, the British currency, and the Canadian dollar. And in fact, imported goods from that those parts of the world have started to rise relatively quickly. Most of those products, however, are high-end products, Gouda cheese, Swiss watches, high-end retail apparel. So folks that shop at Nordstrom's and Neiman Marcus, Tiffany's, might be seeing those higher prices. The dollar has not changed in value against the Chinese currency, the yuan, or most other Asian currencies, including the yen. And so we have not seen any appreciable increase in prices for products that we import for Asia. But that is something that will happen. The dollar will fall in value vis-a-vis the Chinese currency, the other Asian currencies, and even ultimately the Japanese currency. And then the average American will feel it, because that's when Walmart and other discounters probably will have to give up on their everyday low pricing policies. They will be forced to pass through to us, the average American consumer, the higher prices they have to pay for those imported products. So bottom line, it's not had a big impact yet, but it will, I suspect, come Christmas 2005.
John, better luck next year.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you much.
Thanks for the call. Let's talk now with Moro. Moro's calling from McLean, Virginia.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
My question is for your panelists. I work at a high-end department store, and I just don't see the sales like they should be according to all the stats of high-end merchandise selling.
What kind of high-end merchandise do you sell?
Men's and women's apparel.
Okay. Mark?
Well, if you look at the store sales numbers coming out of some of those retailers I just mentioned, Neiman Marcus, Nordstrom's, Tiffany's, you know, the prototypical high-end retailer, the numbers are good. There are high single-digit year-over-year sales gains, in some cases double-digit sales gains.
Right, I understand that, but I think that was due to a strong earlier, well, now we're in the fall season, so they were buying more towards early fall, and now that resort and spring are starting to trickle in. The key items that we were selling, we were already sold out of them early, and the customer base just hasn't been here like we anticipated.
Well, one thing that may be happening, or a couple things may be happening. One is that people may be waiting, seeing what kind of deals they can get in the next a week from now as we approach Christmas. The other thing that might be happening is that Internet sales, e-sales, have come on very strongly. A year or two ago, it was very, very small numbers, but now we're talking pretty big numbers, and people with computers are on shopping at Amazon and all buy.com and all the other retailers, and that's taking a bigger share of sales, particularly away from department stores and apparel stores. And then finally, the other thing that's happening is gift cards. Gift cards have become very popular, increasingly popular. It's an easy way out for a shopper who doesn't really know what to buy for the folks they're buying for. And so that may be weighing a little bit on sales this Christmas. Now, those ultimately will turn into sales, but probably not until after Christmas, into the spring, into the spring, and maybe even into the summer months.
Mauro, good. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's talk with Elaine. Elaine is calling from Philadelphia.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling because my husband and I just really can't get into the shopping frenzy in malls. We don't get into shopping frenzy, period, but we do a lot of our shopping through catalog sales, and I was wondering if catalog sales are included in the figures for the Christmas.
Well, in fact, we're focused on sales at the malls, at department stores, different retailers. And you're right, the catalogs have done very well, along with the e-tailers, the Internet sales. And
Those two things are not mutually exclusive. I mean, a lot of people look at the catalog and then order online.
Absolutely. I mean, they in some degree reinforce each other. I mean, you look in the catalog, you're not sure exactly how it looks and feels, and you go to the store, and that's where you buy it. So it works both ways. But the point is that some of the numbers we're looking at from the department stores and the malls might appear a little bit soft, only because we're not counting some of these other sales that are occurring through other ways.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thanks, Elaine.
Uh-huh.
And let's see if we can talk to Marion. Marion's calling from Denver, Colorado.
Hi.
Hi.
I own a small specialty shop that sells large print, and we always have a big bump up at Christmas time because that's when people are thinking about their elderly relatives and all.
You're talking about large print books?
Large print books, yes, sorry. But I also wanted to make a point, too, that price is just a huge factor. We work really hard to keep our prices really low. It makes a huge difference, especially with the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And also that catalog sales are really good for us because a lot of people who can't, you know, see well enough to kind of read well can't also get out and drive and shop. But we do find that December is pretty good for us, and especially this year I think it's up, too.
Hmm. Okay, Marion, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Book sales in general, are things like that doing well, Mark?
Yeah, they're not doing too badly. I mean, I think it is important to realize that while this is a good Christmas, it's still tough for many. I mean, the job market has improved over the past little more than year, but it's still soft. I mean, there's still fewer jobs out there today than almost 4 years ago. And the folks that are finding jobs, many of them are having to take pay cuts. So it is still a difficult market for many, and it makes it difficult for people to go out and shop. The other thing is that, you know, we're paying a lot more for energy now than last Christmas, the Christmas before. You know, fill your gasoline tank, it's almost $2 per gallon. Home heating oil prices are near record highs, and that cuts into Christmas budgets as well. So it's a good Christmas, but it's not a stellar Christmas, and I think we're going to need another good, solid year of job growth and hopefully lower energy prices, and we'll get a much better Christmas come Christmas 05.
Mark Zandi, happy Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Mark Zandi, chief economist at economy.com. He joined us by phone from his home, his office in Westchester, Pennsylvania. So a lot of people are doing different things to try to lure people into stores, or at least not drive them away, including new kinds of Christmas music. We'll talk about that when we get back from the break. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about holiday shopping. And what is it that draws you into one store over another. The music, the sales, the display, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. If you're in retail, how much attention do you devote to these ancillary items that are designed to bring customers into your store? Holiday shopping, of course, means holiday music blasted on the mall PA system, and the variety of tunes can be as varied as the types of Gap jeans. Some stores stick with the classic Bing Crosby and the Little Drummer Boy. Others opt for more trendy Jessica Simpson remakes. This year, several large chains, Pottery Barn, Banana Republic, Restoration Hardware, are ringing up sales to a slightly different holiday tune. Here's a sample of Louis Armstrong and Velma Middleton singing a new version of Baby, It's Cold Outside.
I really can't stay. Mama, it's cold outside. I've got to go away. I said it's cold outside. I wish I knew how. Tickled to death that you dropped in. You break this spell. You better break that spell.
And joining us to explain this latest holiday music craze is Jeff Daniel, president of Rock River Communications, a company that produces co-branded CDs for retail stores. He's with us by phone from his office in San Francisco. Welcome.
Hello, Neil.
Tell us a little bit about these new hip-hop Christmas tunes.
Well, we have been using classic traditional Christmas songs for so many years on these branded CDs and on the in-store programs in these retailers. And every year our customers or our clients say to us, hey, is there anything new in Christmas music? And there really hasn't been for a long time. So about a year and a half ago, we came up with this idea of doing Christmas Remix, where we took these classic tracks by Bing Crosby, Dean Martin, Mel Torme, Duke Ellington, and hired producers and DJs, electronic producers, to create new recordings using pieces of these originals, remixes of these. And it sort of breathes some new life into these classics that everyone is comfortable with, but might be a little bored with.
How different can Jingle Bells sound?
there's a lot of gradations we can do with this. There is, you know, we can do the more traditional jazz sounding chill out remix. We can do much more club or housey sounding with heavier beats. There's a lot of different directions we can take this, and the producers we work with are just so skilled, and there's so many great electronic musicians out there who can slice and dice these things in lots of different ways and come up with something totally new.
And do they slice and dice them differently for each store as is its preference?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, we have a good size body of these recordings, and you know, a popular client, an Old Navy, is going to want a more upbeat and fun and dancey version than maybe a Pottery Barn, where it's more sedate and maybe more mature and sophisticated.
And in the old days, this was, I guess the brand name was Muzak, but like Xerox, it became a generic name. These were all piped in to the store. These days, you're saying these are specialty CDs that the stores play.
Yeah, well, there's both. I mean, the CDs, branded CDs have been around for a long time. We've been doing this for over 10 years. And traditionally, we sold classic Christmas songs on these CDs. And then the in-store program that you hear when you're in the stores was based on that. It's now the same thing with these CDs. We start first with the CD that's for sale or as a giveaway in the store. And then the in-store program that Muzak or DMX programs is based on these. So it's really playing these tracks.
Mm-hmm. Just a question. The people who did them originally, they get part of the royalties here?
Absolutely.
All right. If you'd like to join us this part of our conversation, 800-989-8255, let's talk with Roger, who's with us from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Roger.
Indeed, thank you. I just would like to say how much I prefer going into a store where there's nothing playing. No music, no beeping or trying to page the associates, just silence. It is so much better. I very rarely go into stores at all. I do most of my shopping on the internet, and that has a lot to do with it.
So if you heard something a little different, like this music, would it drive you away as fast as I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus?
Yes.
Just as fast?
Yes, indeed. I'd much prefer to have peace and quiet.
Uh-huh. Would you describe yourself as a curmudgeon, Roger?
Maybe.
So there is a definite element of the curmudgeonly class. Whether Roger really qualifies as that, I'm not so sure, Jeff Daniel.
No, there's definitely folks out there who'd prefer not to have that music. But, you know, these retailers, they want to sell this comfortable feeling, you know, this you know, somewhat commodified feeling of Christmas in their stores. You know, hey, it's Christmas time. You can hear it. You can feel it in the store. Don't you feel like buying lots of products off our shelves?
Mm-hmm.
We all do it.
Yeah, you and they, the stores, presumably have done some research on this.
Yes, yeah, and we have lots of evidence of sort of how well these CDs do. We do a lot of Christmas CDs every year, and in the past it was the same old Ella Fitzgerald and the same old Nat King Cole. It was just a different song by each of them in every store.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a way to really differentiate, and some stores still go with the classic traditional feel, and some want something new and sort of clubbier feeling. And that's what some of these stores are selling, is they want to sell this more urban sophistication. And so it's this feeling when you're in their stores of, yeah, I have the comfortable traditional feel of the Christmas stuff, which might make me want to buy some more candles or mirrors. But at the same time, I feel like I'm in a club and I'm in a lounge.
Roger, I guess you're in the Simon and Garfunkel class. You'd prefer the Sounds of Silence.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Roger. We appreciate
it. Thank
you. Let's see if we get another caller on the line. And this is Tom. Tom is calling from Lansdale, Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I work at retail, and it's my third Christmas, and people really get sick of the retailers get sick of the music just as well as the customers.
I can imagine.
And so right now, this past week, I've had techno music, and there's like a drum and bass mix of one song, and there's like a lounge trance mix of another song. And I heard it, and I was just like, this has got to be something entirely different.
So that do you find that you're drawing more people in, or at least not driving the other people in the store crazy?
I really don't notice much difference in the customers at all. I mean, nobody seems offended by it any more than the typical standards.
Mm-hmm. And again, what kind of retail are you in, Tom?
I work at a Kohl's. It's a mid-sized department store.
Mid-sized department store. So that would be, Jeff Daniel, one of your prospective customers.
Yeah, probably so.
So
we probably get it through the satellite.
Yeah, what happened is the folks that do your in-store music at Kohl's and other retailers are DMX and Muzak, and the first thing we did when we finished these recordings was to send them off to DMX and Muzak so they could program them in. They, like us, have been starved for new Christmas recordings for a long time, so they were excited when they received these, and they put them out into a lot of playlists, so you'll hear them everywhere from American Eagle to Abercrombie to Kohl's to Gap. They're in the playlist everywhere.
Okay, Tom, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And good luck for the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Daniel, we'd like to thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Neil. Nice speaking with you.
Jeff Daniel is the president of Rock River Communications, a company that produces co-branded CDs for retail stores, and he joined us on the line from his office in San Francisco. So if we've heard the latest music. What are the tactics do stores use to draw customers in? And once they're there, how can they be convinced to stay and buy? Joining us now is Dan Butler, Vice President for Retail Operations for the National Retail Federation. He joins us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for coming in.
It's good to be here.
A lot of stores sell the same kind of merchandise. What are they doing to draw customers to their particular store?
I think each retailer identifies their target customer, and they try to understand what that customer is looking for. Then they try to make sure that they have the assortment right, and then once it's in the store, they want to make sure the presentation of that merchandise is exciting and appealing, well-signed, clearly priced, so that the customer can find the merchandise efficiently and shop quickly in the store.
Mm-hmm. Friends and family promotions are a big deal this year, as I understand.
Yeah, we've seen those growing every year in their popularity. It's a great way for employees who normally can't share their employee discount with their friends and family members and encourage them to come and shop at the store during the holiday season. So we've seen it almost across every sector that these types of promotions are heavily promoted. They're being promoted heavily through the Internet as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, this layout, this design, the presentation, as you're saying, how important is that?
It becomes very important in keeping the customer engaged in your store while they're shopping. It's important that they get engaged in the presentation so that they understand what the product is, how you use it, what the features are, the benefits are.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's just stacked on a table or stacked in a corner, a customer most likely isn't going to stop and look at it. So you have to make it an appealing presentation that engages the customer's interest.
Mm-hmm. One of the most interesting things when you're actually shopping, if you're perhaps you're accompanying somebody else who's shopping, is to in fact look at, around at the store. Everything there is a conscious decision. There's a reason for everything to be there.
Definitely, and especially at the Christmas time. Retailers really put out a floor plan of all their stores months in advance, and they plan out where everything's going to be. They're going to plan where the back stock's going to be so they can fill in the floor quickly and efficiently throughout the season. But you're right, every fixture is planned, every item on every fixture is planned. So there is a rhyme and a reason to the placement of the merchandise.
Let's get some callers in on this as well. Jill is with us from Sterling Heights in Michigan.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had to tell about a thing that we saw at our local mall a couple of weeks ago. I was out with my husband and son. And at Abercrombie and Fitch, they actually had a young man as a greeter standing in the front of the store with no shirt on. It was quite something.
Was this an attractive young man?
Oh, yeah. He was very good looking. In fact, I made my husband and son go back and take a look. But I told my son, don't you ever think you're going to do that when you get old enough.
Now, did that get you, your son, or your husband into the store?
No, absolutely not. We just kept on walking. I would have felt kind of uncomfortable, actually, walking in.
Huh.
But maybe for, you know, I'm not a youngster, so maybe somebody else would have been, you know, persuaded.
I don't mean to presume about Jill's age, but she does not maybe sound to be Abercrombie's demographic.
That could be, but also it might be important that there might be a reason why he had a shirt off. There might be a cut in the jean that they're trying to show off and that they're trying to feature. So there's probably a very good reason from a marketing standpoint why they would have a greeter there wearing specific items and not wearing a shirt or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's there just because they want to show a young, attractive person with their shirt off. I think that they were most likely trying to promote the cut of the jean, the way the denim looks, or the way the cut is on the back end or something like that.
All right. Jill, thanks very much for the call.
And, you're welcome. Thank
you. I hope the rest of your shopping this year is just as interesting.
Oh, yeah, me too. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Let's get another caller. This is Sharon. Sharon's calling from Sharon, Massachusetts, or are we just type the same name twice?
I use the same name twice, but that's okay. I'm calling because I want to echo Roger a little bit. I'm a professional curmudgeon, and I try to stay out of the stores in the holiday season. But what I do is a couple of things. One is I tend to go to stores that have treated me well through the rest of the year. If they've made it painless for me to get in there, they have good sales help, they don't screw around with their signs too much, the music's not too loud, I'll go right in. If it's a place that's blaring music, my husband got me earplugs this year. That's about the only way you'll get me into those stores then. And it's hard because I've got teenage girls who love those stores, so I'm finding myself needing to go into some of them to get some of the things they want, but it's a tough thing for me to do.
I don't think you're alone, Sharon, and Dan Butler, as stores, you know, again, they research this stuff. Do they accept the fact that there's a certain percentage of people that they're just going to annoy or drive away?
There are some people that don't like music, but I managed department stores for 26 years, and I actually had customers who complained when we didn't turn the music on if we forgot, and normally there's music year-round. I think that what's important is that there's variety in the music, that it's not too loud, that it's sort of there in the background to add atmosphere and ambiance, but I certainly think that a lot of customers who get annoyed by music are usually annoyed by music that is blaring and loud. They're not usually complaining about the background softer music that just adds some ambiance to the store. But I was always surprised if we forgot to turn our music on, usually by 30 or 45 minutes after the store was open, a customer would comment, "Where's your music today?" So you do see that as well.
Yeah, the hard part is if you can't concentrate on what you're there for, and if there's some major distraction, either visually or audibly, you're not going to be able to figure out what you want to get, spend your money, and you're just going to leave in frustration. So you want to take care of all of their needs, I think, when they get in there. And some of it is even when you get to the checkout. If I've had a bad experience at checkout with a particular store, I may not go back there later on in the year when it's Christmas season. I may go to someplace else.
Sure. I think that also when it comes to the music, I think you have to watch the volume control. So in most stores now, they don't let anybody just turn the music on and crank it up. They really determine this is the volume it should be set at, make sure it's set that way. Mm-hmm. And I do agree, your experience at the cash register is going to determine how often you shop in any given store. So retailers are really looking at the technology that they use at the register to improve the speed that you go through the register, to improve the accuracy of the transaction, and to train their sales help to be more friendly and more customer service oriented. Because she's very right. If you don't treat them right at the beginning of the year, they're not coming back at the holidays.
And perhaps the most critical factor at the cash register is the price, not to be forgotten.
Right. Pricing accuracy is very important to the consumer, and retailers know that. And again, they're looking very carefully at their signing and their ticket pricing to make sure that they're accurate.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, thanks very much for the phone call.
Bye-bye.
Let's see if here's an email we got. Somewhat along the same lines from Cheryl Davies. Customer service is a major factor in choosing where I choose to shop. I am less likely to shop at the large chains because employees are not as friendly, hard to locate, unknowledgeable, or unwilling to help. Although I am certainly not wealthy, I'm often willing to pay a bit more for more fun and less stressful experience.
I think the consumer is really looking for good service and fast service everywhere. And I think that's really driving retailers to look at how they use technology and how they can provide better service, because there are less people on the sales floor in this day and age, because it's expensive to have salespeople, and you need them, and you need good, friendly customer service on your floor. So retailers are really trying to impact how those employees they have on the floor can do a better job.
We're discussing Christmas sales, Christmas music, Christmas displays. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Here's an email we got from Al Evans. You may have moved on. He was talking about the music programming we did earlier. 20-something years ago, I worked in retail, specifically at Goldberg Army Navy in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. We had about a dozen cassette tapes of Christmas music, and this included 3 Johnny Mathis tapes. Every Black Friday, we all worked from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., and we played the 3 Johnny Mathis tapes in sequence for 14 hours. We even had T-shirts with the "I Survived the Johnny Mathis Challenge." The store is gone now. This is one of my fondest memories of working there. You worked in retail a long time yourself.
Sure.
And
I think those memories of working the holiday season are always good and exciting. And you certainly work hard and long hours during the holiday season. But it's an exciting time to work in retail. It's a fun time to be in the stores because there is so much activity. There's so much fun merchandise. And there's a lot of satisfaction in helping customers find what they want, helping them find the right gift, and helping them get the right gift wrap or whatever else they need to go with the gift as well.
And as if the season is a little slower than usual, can you always depend on those Christmas Eve shoppers?
Well, we find that the last 10 days before Christmas are very important to retailers, but more so also now, the last 10 or the 10 days right after Christmas are just as important. There are a lot of people who get gift cards, gift certificates, and money for the holidays who go out and shop during that week between Christmas and New Year's. So although we think Christmas Eve is important and we think a lot of people do a lot of shopping then, there's still a lot of shopping to be done right after the holiday.
Dan Butler, appreciate you coming in today. Dan Butler, Vice President of Retail Operations for the National Retail Federation, and he joined us here in Studio 3A. When we come back from a short break, we'll continue our conversation on holiday retail season and talk to a power seller on eBay. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's continue our conversation about Christmas shopping. Last December, more people visited eBay than any other online shopping site. That's according to Nielsen Net Ratings. And it's in the last quarter of 2003, eBay sold $7 billion worth of goods. It's hoping to have similar success this year. And if you think the holidays are hectic for you, try being one of eBay's seasonal power sellers. Paula Trainum sells plates and figurines on eBay. This month, she's expecting to sell 2 to 3 times her normal volume. She joins us now by phone from her home in Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, Neil. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. What's a seasonal eBay power seller?
That's a funny thing that I made up, because to be a power seller on eBay, you have to sell $1,000 a month for 3 months running. Then they send you a nice certificate that you can hang over your computer that says, wow, power seller. And because most of the stuff I sell is very seasonal, about 3 months out of the year, I'm a power seller. And then when the slack season of February comes along, they send me a polite email and they say, you can keep the certificate, but you're not really a power seller anymore.
The stuff you sell is Christmas-oriented?
It just seems that this is the sort of stuff that people really look for between September and December.
How busy are you right now?
Pardon?
How busy are you right now?
Well, last week I was up to my neck. I was shipping, 40 packages a day.
Really?
Yes. But, our Christmas Eve on eBay comes at least a week or two before the real Christmas Eve, because we have to account for shipping time and so forth.
I understand you've, in fact, become so busy at this time of the year, you've put the local Chinese restaurant on speed dial.
That's exactly right. That is really not a joke. I wait for the little ho-ho's man to come to the door, and he's become quite familiar with our house, I have to say.
Now, you do all of your work from home and on your own, mailing 40 packages a day sometimes. Did you ever think of bringing on some help or expanding?
No, actually, I would not like to do that. I'm sort of a control freak. You wouldn't know it to see the way my house is right now because of eBay. But as far as, like, packaging and shipping, I have just a real need to make sure that stuff gets there safely, and I don't entrust that to anybody. So,
by not entrusting it, you can often be up quite late every once in a while.
Well, yes. The other night I was up till 3:30 in the morning, because besides packaging and shipping, you know, as people buy things off your web, off of your postings, you have to keep adding more things, and that involves photographing, cataloging, sitting down and describing them and listing them. So, you know, there's a lot of time involved in eBay.
So over the course of these 3 months, how much money do you make? We'll not tell the IRS.
Yes, don't tell the IRS or my sister, who also sells things on eBay. But just for example, in the last weeks, right after Thanksgiving, from Thanksgiving until I would say today, I've probably cleared $3,500.
That's not too bad.
Not shabby. Not shabby.
Is this a supplementary income? What do you do with the money?
Well, I have a daughter at Georgetown in D.C.
Aha, that's what you do with all of the money. You mail it straight to them.
Fortunately, she's baby genius and got a wonderful scholarship from them, but it does supplement the, I mean, D.C. is an expensive place to live.
And Georgetown, some of those ancillary expenses can mount up, too.
Yes, and she, you know, she's studying Japanese, so we have to save up for the day when she'll go to Japan to, you know, do her foreign study. So,
well, congratulations. I hope the rest of the season goes as well as the first part.
Oh, I appreciate that, and I thank you so much for even calling me.
Well, Paula Trainum, thank you.
You're so welcome. It's been my pleasure.
Paula Trainum, a seasonal eBay power seller. She joined us by phone from her home in Fort Worth, Texas.